Today is Tuesday, April the 20th, 2021. Welcome to More of the Word with Pastor Chuck Puccio, a podcast designed to help you start your daily devotion with a biblically focused intention. Here's Pastor Chuck.
Hello. At this point, we must address the difficult problem of the relationship between God's working, His will, and the committing of sinful acts by humans. It is necessary to distinguish between God's normal working in relation to human actions and His working in relation to sinful acts. To begin with, the Bible is clear that God is not the cause of sin. James 1:13-17. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God is in no way responsible for my sinning, even when my sinning promotes the ongoing of His will in the world. Whenever Jesus was crucified, Peter was not saying in the sermon we quoted yesterday that God made them kill Jesus because it was a part of His plan. I am responsible for my sinning. But if sinful actions are not caused by God, they are still within His governing activity, as we saw with the crucifixion of Jesus. But how is that so? Let's examine some ways. First, it must be acknowledged that God can prevent sin. At times, He deters or precludes people from performing certain sinful acts. Therefore, we need to ask God to help us avoid sinful acts and attitudes. Psalm 19:13. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. He helps us not sin, and therefore preventing sin. That's what God does. Also note the words of Jesus in the model prayer in Matthew 6:13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's not that we expect God to lead us into temptation. Rather, it's asking God to help us to follow Him so that we will not stray into temptation. Second, God sometimes permits sin. By not preventing the sin we determine to do, God renders it certain that we will indeed commit it. But He does not cause us to sin or render it necessary that we act in this fashion. Psalm 81:12. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart, to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. In Romans, Paul was writing of the sinfulness of unredeemed humanity when he stated in Romans 1:28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper. Third, God can also direct sin. While not specifically causing some sins to occur, He nonetheless directs them in such a way that His providential will is furthered through these sinful acts. That Jesus was put to death by godless men is a prime example of just this principle. That God used it for good is seen in Peter's words in Acts 2:36, where he said, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Fourth, God can limit sin. There are times when He does not prevent evil deeds, but does restrain the extent or effect of what evil people and the devil and his demons can do. When God bragged on Job to Satan, Satan claimed that anyone would be faithful when blessed like Job. God then permitted Satan to bring evil into his life, but with limits. As it says in Job 1:12, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him.'" God can therefore limit evil. God can limit the effects of sin if it is within his purpose to do so. There are times that we ourselves are concerned about irreparable effects of sin in the lives of those we love. They are living their lives contrary to the directives of Scripture, and we know the potential consequences of such behavior. We therefore often grieve that even if this person does repent, the consequences of his current behavior will haunt him the rest of his lives. That's a valid concern that may cause us to ask the Father to limit those consequences. On the other hand, it's often only the most devastating consequences that can get the attention of the straying one. Would we rather they have deeply scarring, lifelong consequences of sinful behavior if those very consequences are what finally open their hearts to the Lord? How then are we to pray? I suggest that our prayers, due to our limited knowledge, should be that God do whatever necessary to open their spiritual hearts and ears to his message. Whatever we have to endure on this earth is but a tiny price to pay for eternal life. So keep praying, brothers and sisters.
Thank you for listening to More of the Word with Pastor Chuck Puccio. Our hope is that this program will help you kickstart your own time alone with God each day. We invite you to use it to set your mind on the things of Him. If you have any questions about this episode or other biblical matters, please feel free to email Pastor Chuck directly at chuck@broadmoor.tv.